Mark chapter 15. And immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And answering, he said to him, "You say it." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Boy, I would have a hard time answering nothing if I was being falsely accused. But Jesus knew that this had to happen, and he allowed it. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? Behold, how many things they testify against you." But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Yeah, that's not typical behavior for an innocent person. Now at that feast, he released one prisoner to them, whomever they desired. So this was some kind of tradition that Pilate did, that he would release one prisoner during the Passover. And there was one named Barabbas, who was bound with those who had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. So this is a really good guy. Yeah. And crying aloud, the multitude began to ask him to do as he had always done for them. In other words, the crowd demanded Pilate to release a prisoner, like he usually did. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him out of envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas to them. So basically they were infiltrating the crowd and getting them riled up into that crowd mentality. If you can get a crowd riled up and get them into that crowd mentality, you can get a crowd to do pretty much anything you want. Whereas individually, they would never do what they're about to do. Kind of reminds me of, you know, the riots that you see in our country sometimes. They just get them riled up and get them to do pretty much anything they want them to do. So they got them riled up, and Pilate answered and said again to them, "What then do you want me to do to him whom you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And so Pilate, wishing to satisfy the people, released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. So they wanted to crucify an innocent man and release a murderer. That makes sense. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him with purple and wove a crown of thorns and put it around his head. I doubt that they placed it gently. I'm sure they like really jammed it on his head. And began to salute him, you know, mockingly. "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him on the head with a reed and spit on him. And bowing their knees, worshipped him. Of course, this was pretend mocking worship. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, who passed by coming out of the country to bear his cross. Probably because Jesus had been scourged and beaten to the point that he was probably too weak to bear his own cross. You know, the scourging alone, that's like 39 lashes on the back with straps that had like sharp things. I don't know if it was sharp metal or bones or something. And they would do 39 lashes, which would just completely just destroy and just rip up your back to where it would just be a bloody mess. So they got Simon to carry his cross for him, and they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. Sounds like a nice place. And they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not receive it. I don't know exactly what this wine mingled with myrrh to drink was. I've heard that it's kind of acted like an analgesic. And Jesus would have wanted to be completely alert and focused because he had a purpose. And so he didn't want to be kind of out of it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots on them to decide what each man should take. And that's straight from a prophecy from Psalm 22:18. And it was the third hour, so that would be about 9 a.m., and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written above, "The King of the Jews," and they crucified two thieves with him, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled that said, and this is from Isaiah 53:12, "And he was numbered with the transgressors. And those who passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Ah, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in three days, save yourself and come down from the cross.'" Such disrespect. "Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, 'He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe.' And those who were crucified with him reviled him." Even the two thieves were reviled him. Of course, we know from another account that one of the thieves repented. "And when the sixth hour came, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." So from noon to 3 p.m., total darkness over the land. That's not normal, right? So that was supernatural. "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which is being interpreted, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?'" So the ninth hour would be about 3 p.m. So Jesus was crucified at 9 a.m., died at 3 p.m. So it only took him 6 hours to die. I say only 6 hours. That would be a horrible 6 hours. But I think it was rather short compared to the typical crucifixions. And this, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's from Psalm 22:1. If you read Psalm 22, I think it's just a kind of a prophecy of Christ pouring out his heart, all the emotions he's feeling. "And some of those who stood by, when they heard it, said, 'Behold, he is calling Elijah.' And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, 'Leave him alone. Let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down.'" Again, I don't know the purpose of this sponge full of vinegar. I don't know, again, if it was something to help with the pain or what. "And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom." Again, not normal. Another supernatural act. "And when the centurion who stood in front of him saw that he so cried out and gave up his spirit, he said, 'Truly this man was the Son of God.' There were also women looking on from afar, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph, and Salome, who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee." I've heard that Salome might have possibly been Jesus' aunt. I don't know. "And many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And now when the evening came, because it was the day of the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, so that would be Friday, Joseph of Arimathea came, an honorable counselor, who had also waited for the kingdom of God, and went in boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus." So this is one of Jesus's disciples, not an apostle, but a disciple. One who believed and followed Christ and was waiting for the kingdom of God or for the church to come. So he asked if he could have the body of Jesus, and Pilate marveled that he was already dead. So again, I think 6 hours is probably pretty short for somebody to die of crucifixion. "And calling the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead." So he wanted to verify that. "And when he learned from the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher that had been cut out of a rock. I think another account says this actually was Joseph's own personal tomb. and it was new. It was a new tomb that had never been used. And rolled a stone against the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. So, Jesus has been crucified. So, he's going to be, again, I want to do a study and figure out exactly the timing of all of this. Because, you know, it says that Jesus was crucified, died, was buried, and raised. And that all took place in 3 days and three nights. Well, as the first century understood it, I've been told that as the first century understood it, any part of a day was considered like a whole day for them. So part of Friday, part of Saturday, and part of Sunday. Again, I want to do a study on that. I get a little confused about it. And that is Mark chapter 15.